You just heard a snippet of the new single Lady Mine by Josh Ramsey, the frontman for the Canadian Juno Award-winning pop rockers Marianas Trench. The new single Lady Mine is Josh's first single off the debut solo album, The Josh Ramsey Show. The Josh Ramsey Show includes an all-star list of collabs and showcases Ramsey's astonishing musical versatility. The album's first single is a blistering hard rock track that features Nickelback's Chad Kroeger. Writing the astonishing Ramsey Show was an opportunity for Ramsey to step outside of his comfort zone and dig deep, reflecting on all of his experiences of love and loss and the confusion that arises when the two collide. The Josh Ramsey Show is a masterpiece. Here to talk about his solo album is Juno Award-winning frontman of the pop rock band Marianas Trench is Josh Ramsey. Josh, it's been a long time, way too long.
Yeah.
Congratulations on this solo EP. Boy, oh boy. I know you've been talking about it a long time, but it is killer, front to back.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's really, really, really good. I love it, my friend. So really excited for you. This one's been a while. This was one you wanted to do for a long time. So tell us about being able to finally do this. Were you able to do it just because of COVID?
And
being able
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like, I had always planned on doing a record where I played, you know, the bulk of the instruments myself and stuff. And that was always a goal for me to do at some point. But I just never had really a chance to do it because, you know, like Marianas Trench is a full-time job and writing and producing for other acts is my other full-time job. So there's never really the time. And then quarantine happened and, you know, all showbiz shut down there. So it was sort of the perfect time for me to just sort of lock myself in a room and just be really creative.
That you are. This is incredible. You do most of the instruments on this album too, right? 99% of them?
Yeah. I played all of it except for the orchestral elements. And there's a couple songs that have a horn section. And I don't play any horn instruments. No, I can play trumpet a little bit, but not well enough to do this.
Is there anything you can't do? I am telling you, because what is the most difficult instrument that you play on this one? One that maybe you might not have been able to play for Marianas Trench.
I played a little bit of cello for the first time.
Oh, nice.
That was a difficult one. I'm by no means an accomplished cellist or anything, but I learned it well enough to be able to play the one part that I needed.
Oh, nice. It's just such an incredible body of work, something that you must be so proud of. On this album, you did so much with a variety of different artists. You created music that seemed to be a match, you know, for each one, that was featuring each artist perfectly. How was it for you to be able to pick out the artists that you wanted to put on this record?
Oh, thanks so much. I just kind of followed my instincts and was like, okay, well, I've never written a song like this before. How about this? And then sort of usually partway through the writing process, then I would start to think about like, who would be cool to maybe sing on this with me? And then sort of 9 times out of 10, I would picture that artist's voice and start kind of writing for their voice. And then I would send them like pretty much a finished song and to see if they would be open to it. I think I got really lucky. This is another thing that I got really lucky with because of the pandemic, is like pretty much everyone was available, right? Like nobody was on tour.
True enough.
Everyone was just sitting around looking for something to do, or recording their own albums. The only people I couldn't, the only couple people I couldn't get was because they were too busy working on their own stuff, understandably. But yeah, for the most part, everyone was just really was available. So I really got lucky.
You must be so excited to hear the feedback, because this is truly a masterpiece front to back.
Really nice. Thanks.
It's been a long time since I've heard an album right from start to finish that I absolutely love. And there's so many incredible songs on here. Every genre.
Thanks. I mean, I really, you know, that sort of came from... I think when I first started talking to my manager about the idea of doing a solo project, he said, well, what's that going to look like? Because in Mariana's Trench, I'm the songwriter. So how is this going to be different than a Mariana's Trench album? Because I don't think it's not a good idea for me to just go make a Mariana's Trench album on my own. I don't think anybody would appreciate that idea. So I agreed with him on that. So I sort of thought about it for a second, and I thought I think everyone probably would have expected like a singer songwriter acoustic album or something. Mm-hmm. But that's not really me. I'm just kind of I'm very extra in life, and so I sort of arrived at like, well, you know, I write for other artists all the time, and so because of that, I'm quite at home just experimenting and playing around in different genres and stuff. So then that sort of led me to the choice of being like, why don't I, rather than having, that this was a risky choice in hindsight, but rather than having a unified sound to the album, why don't I just try and do as many different genres as possible and sort of make choices that I would not have made on a Mariana's Trench album? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what led me to that. And then I just had to hope that, I mean, for better or for worse, my voice sounds like my voice. So I had to hope that was enough to be a through line to tie everything together.
Good Lord, yes.
It's funny, like, I think people listening to it, I think it doesn't sound like a Mariana's Trench album, but I think you can still tell. It's kind of like a different show by the same director, you know.
Everybody knows your voice. Like the moment you start singing, I know it's you. I've just been covering you for such a long time, and it's just incredible. But it just really explored so many different avenues, like different levels in your voice. Like it was so cool. Loved it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I really try to, every album I really try and push myself vocally and try and improve. My mom was my main vocal coach, and I trained with her so much for years and years and years. And I still like practice every day and try and keep vocally as in shape as possible. Mm-hmm. And somehow as I get older, my voice gets higher. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
There's so much that's so special about this one, but let's talk about Spellbound and your mom and your dad and Miles and Miles. Two incredible songs, both you and your sister, you know, sing on this. Tell us about Spellbound and what that meant for you.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so during the pandemic, I did lose both my parents, mm-hmm. 6 months apart, almost to the day. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, and so I wanted to write a song for each of them. I knew I had to like address it, because that's just how I am. But I didn't want to write them songs about loss and grief. I wasn't interested in exploring that. Mm-hmm. And instead, I wanted to do a song for each of them that really sort of touched on all of the musical things that I learned from them, because they were my two biggest teachers. Mm-hmm. So like for my mom, for Spellbound, like when she was a contemporary, as a professional musician, as a singer, she was a background singer for Leonard Cohen's band for like a decade. And so sort of like her era was that sort of like late 60s and through the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of thinking about like, okay, I want to write a song that sounds like it's from that era. So that led me to the choice of like the Beatles used to do songs that were like simple pop songs, but they were all done with overdubbed orchestral instruments. Mm-hmm. Like All You Need Is Love would be a good, or Eleanor Rigby, like they used to do that. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll try and do something like that. And And I called it Spellbound just because my mom had quite a magical sense about her. And then she was very whimsical and very silly. So I tried to put that into the music as well. So I really tried to get it. It sort of, to me, it sort of sounds like if the Beatles went to Disneyland. that's kind of what it was after. And it was the only time, in my career that I've had musicians like, had the trombones and the tuba and stuff. And it's the only time that I was giving them notes like, is it possible to play this sillier? Like, can you make it sound more goofy? Like,
wow.
Which is really fun to explore. And then the song for my dad, also with Spellbound, I also wanted to make sure that it was a vocal performance that was full of control and a very difficult vocal to sing, because my mom was my vocal coach. So I wanted it to do something that she would have been like, nice job.
We're going to play it right now. Here is Spellbound by Josh Ramsey here on Music's Journey.
It's funny the things I think of now. It's not the milestones that stand out. Ooh, it's little moments I hold on to that make me smile and think of you. You sound like a song to me, Mama. You're magic to me now. Now and forever, I'm spellbound. I can remember. Sang to me and how you sound, Mama. You're magic to me still. Spellbound, I know it always will. 'Cause I can still hear you sing along with me in perfect harmony under the glass of Chardonnay. You laughed your way through Christmas Day. Outside without a scar. Ooh. You said, of course, it's fucking fun. I still laugh about it now. Mama, you're magic to me now. Now and forever, I'm spellbound. I can remember every note you sang to me and how you sang.
That was the special song that Josh Ramsey wrote for his mom, and it's called Spellbound, and it's off his brand new album, his solo EP, and that is The Josh Ramsey Show.
And with my dad, I mean, one of the big things I learned from my dad was musical arrangement. My dad was a fantastic arranger, and I learned a lot about that stuff from him. So I thought the only choice would be to write him an entire symphony and just kind of like, sort of like, in, even within the lyrics, just being sort of like just showing off all the things that I can do because you taught them to me, and sort of remembering him that way. Mm-hmm. And that song was incredibly difficult to record because I needed a full symphony orchestra, but it was a pandemic.
That's
and everyone
right.
had to be socially distant. And so basically what we had to do is we did record a full orchestra, but we recorded it sort of like five or six people at a time mm-hmm. in these sort of like 2 hour time slots, which took forever. And then to put it all together and make it sound like one cohesive unit was a significant amount of editing time on my end.
I was going to say a really daunting, you know, project for that song with the full orchestra and then with Sarah too.
Yeah, I think to write it and record it and then also mix it, I think like all in all that song was about like probably took about 5 or 6 weeks of work.
I wouldn't doubt it. But both of them are so special.
Yeah, thanks. And then I mean for the one for my dad, I was just like the only person I could ask to come sing on this would be my sister. So she came in and sang a little bit on it, and I was really happy that she did, and I'm sure my parents would have been happy with those songs.
So many things that a son learns from a father. This cadence here is yours. Note for note, I follow all your phrases so far beyond the score. So I know I can't surprise you anymore, but I can still hear.
Oh, such special songs. And as I said, my sincere condolences, because I know how tough it is. I lost my mom, you know, too, during that time, too. And just a very, very special, special two songs. And very proud. We're going to be playing a lot off the album in this broadcast, so it's going to be pretty special. Let's talk about celebrating your solo album with the collabs. As I said, one of them, Chad, for sure. Lady Mine, man, what a killer, killer song.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was a fun one.
I bet. Chad's, I love him to death. And he's just one of my faves, and he does so much work too. But with Chad Kroeger, it's just such a great, great song. Tell us about writing this one.
Thanks. That was one of the first songs I wrote for the record. And that was sort of, I was like, okay, it's not a Mariana Trench record. Here we go. And so, I mean, initially what I was thinking about, like, creatively, and this is a writing exercise that I do a lot. And it's a writing exercise that I would recommend to any other writers out there. Is a really great way to sort of like hone your chops sometimes is to picture another artist and go, how would I write a song for that person? What would I do? What would I do if I got asked to write a song, like living or dead, whatever? Like, what would I do if I got asked to write a song for David Bowie? And then you try and write a, you know, like that kind of thing. So with this song, basically, initially what I was picturing was, what would I do if I had to write a song for Lenny Kravitz? And that was my initial, like, jumping off point. And of course, what I arrived at was probably not very much like Lenny Kravitz in the end. But you know, it just keeping in his spirit of the, like, very 70s influenced rock with the horns. And so it sort of started there. But then I wanted my voice to sound a certain way that I know it can sound whenever I've been, like, drunk at a bar and there's a cover band and they pull me on stage. Inevitably, I always end up singing AC/DC.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, so I knew that if I put it in that register, that my voice would sound like that. So I specifically put it in the same key as Highway to Hell.
Oh, wow.
Just because I knew my voice would do that grindy thing up there. And then sort of partway through working on it, then I was like, you know, I wonder if Chad would do this. Like, would Chad say yes to this? And then I really got attached to that idea because I started really picturing his voice on it. Mm-hmm. And that can be a difficult spot to put yourself in, because if you get your heart set on someone and then they say no, then you're going to be crushed. Or like, the song is never going to be what you wanted it to be. But thank God Chad did say yes. And he sent back a killer, killer rock vocal. And I think it's funny because, like, there's certain sections of the song where, like, you can't even tell which one of us is singing because we both have this, like, raspy chainsaw thing happening.
I'm telling you, I was saying the same thing when I heard it the first time, and it was like, hang on.
Yeah, I know. And then I also think what's fun about that song, for me, is I think it's not a song that anybody would expect to hear me on, mm-hmm. or a song anyone would expect to hear Chad on. So I think it was like something a little different for both of us, which was, I think, just fun.
Oh man, I'm telling you, one of my favorites. Well, there's so many on this album, but it is one of my favorites just because I'm just a huge fan of both of you. But to hear the two of you play together, that was just incredible. And we're going to be playing that one right now.
Just fine. This chase
ringing, love it, baby, when you tease. One taste and I'm singing three-part harmony. Get so hot, I know you've got the last drop that could lift me. The tequila's gone before too long, but sex tastes best with whiskey. Two shots for the fever. Too late, then we're doing just fine.
That was Lady of Mine by Josh Ramsey featuring Chad Kroeger. Josh Ramsey is best known for the frontman of the Juno Award-winning pop rock band Mariana's Trench. This is the first single for Josh off the solo project called The Josh Ramsey Show. Let's talk about another one that's really special too, and that's Perfect Mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool song.
Thank you. So that's the only song on the album that is truly like a 50-50 co-write. So that's myself and Rhea, and so Rhea, before the pandemic, Rhea had come to Vancouver to do a song with me, like not that I was going to be singing on the song. It was just like we wrote the song together, and she was going to be singing it. It was going to be on her album, and then when I started working on this album. I happened to talk to Rhea, and she had left her record label, and she was in between labels at the moment. Like, she's somewhere now, but at the time she had left her label, so she was in between labels, and it was like, oh, so the song's never gonna come out. So I asked her, I was like, well, how would you feel about, like, what if I sing one of the verses and we kind of repurpose it into a duet? How would you feel about that? And she was open to that idea. Which is great, and actually I think not because specifically because of me, but just having two singers on the song, mm-hmm. I think actually really brought it up a level, because it turned into a conversation between two people, and that narrative was never in the original version when there was only one singer.
Yeah, that's
didn't really
true.
Feel like that.
Yeah.
So I think it made for a more interesting listen, and I love working with Rhea. She's such a sweetheart. She's great.
You're probably drunk. Does he know what's happening? Oh,
Gone so soon, that's what you do. I'm used to it. If this is wrong, then why the hell we fit so well? I'm losing it. You're probably drunk, cause you know, does you know what's happening? Whoa. And does you break promises that you made in the bed where you lay? Does you know that that was me?
That was The Perfect Mistake by Josh Ramsey featuring Rhea May. Oh, well, I'm telling you, perfect song for Perfect Mistake. Thanks. I'm telling you, it was a great one. Another one of mine I'm going to throw at you here, and that's Dallas Smith. And that's The Best of Me. Another great song.
Yeah, thank you. So that one, so Dallas and I have known each other for a long time. We were label mates forever. We've played together a bunch of times, and we had always talked about like, hey man, at some point we should do a song together. Like, that would be fun. And like, we had both like been talking about that with each other for years. And then I started working on this album, and I was like, okay, great. So I'm definitely going to write something for Dallas. And hope that he's on board with it. And so I definitely wrote that song like from the very moment of inception. I was picturing Dallas's voice in that song for sure. I it was important to me on the record, and actually that vocal, even though vocally speaking it's not a difficult song to sing, but for me, when I first started singing it and singing my verse at the beginning there, my normal approach to where I would usually sing in that register, it just didn't sound right in the song. It sounded too much like a pop song. It didn't have the country thing that I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the drawing board, and I tried over and over and over to get my voice to feel like a country singer. It's funny, at first, I went too far, and it sounded like a caricature, like it sounded like an SNL skit or something. I went too far the other direction, and then I started to dial it back from there. But getting it to a place where it still felt like a country delivery, but still felt authentic to me, that would actually took quite a bit of work. And it was funny, and then we put out the song, and then a whole bunch of people didn't even think it was me singing in the first verse.
So I don't know. You did a good job.
or maybe I did go too far, I don't know.
No, you didn't. Here is The Best of Me by Josh Ramsey featuring Dallas Smith here on Music's Journey.
Feels like home doesn't look right. The truth seems wrong in the right light. Or maybe everyone and everything has changed. Too long hit the bottom of a quick fix. I put one foot forward, but it don't stick. Ain't it funny how things you tell yourself remain the same when you're without? Can you forgive me, love? Forgive me, love. Forgive me, love. Forgive me, love. Can you forgive me, love? Forgive me, love. You know I just can't be without you. I tried a new look. I tried to push through. I tried to drink you away, but it's no use. And I'm begging borrow to steal tomorrow. But you got the best of me. I put my foot down. It ought to move soon. Another brand new day, but I'm old news. So don't think about it. Feel right. The drinks don't work, but the drugs might. Everything decays to a stupor haze for now. You know the bottle hits hard when you're too thin. Last night's lust is today's problem. You can lose yourself in somebody else, but you're losing either way. So now, would you forgive me, love? Forgive me, love. Would you forgive me, love? Forgive me, love. Would you forgive me, love, you know I just can't be without you. I tried a new look, I tried to push through, I tried to drink you away, but it's no use, and I'm begging borrow, to steal tomorrow, you know you got the best of me. I put my foot down, it ought to move soon, another brand new day, but I'm old news, so don't think about it.
Was The Best of Me by Josh Ramsey featuring Dallas Smith off his new solo debut, The Josh Ramsey Show. It's out right now. You can download all the music that you're hearing today on all your streaming platforms. Don't forget, you can share it on all your playlists. And you can also request any of the songs that you're hearing that you love off the solo album, The Josh Ramsey Show. You can request it at your local radio station. I'm telling you, it's one of the ones that we get requested all the time.
And, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
and
really
I mean,
cool.
Dallas is such a great singer. And, you know, singing with him, I mean, singing with everybody on this album is just a great honor. I mean, there's a lot of great, great vocalists on this record.
Oh,
and,
gosh, yeah.
Dallas hadn't, it was really funny. Like, I sent him the song. He liked it and he wanted to sing on it. And then he was going to send me back a vocal. And because that's how most of this album was done, is people just sent me vocals mm-hmm. and I just put it in. So he was going to do that, and it just like his vocal kept not showing up and not showing up. And I think he was, I think he was like maybe waiting for some equipment or something, but it kept not happening. And then him and I had already scheduled like a shoot where we were going to perform the song live acoustically, mm-hmm. and we still hadn't recorded. We still hadn't finished the real recording.
Oh, no.
So we were at the warehouse in Vancouver, Brian Adams Studio, and we recorded the acoustic live off the floor thing. And I was like, okay, that sounds great, man. You know, we're here in the studio. Do you want to just like the mic's already set up? Do you want to just like do one or two takes, and we'll just see if we can get it right now. And he was like, yeah, sure. And he laid down his vocals on that song. It took him about 10 minutes. It was like It was the fastest vocal performances I've ever seen. And the really frustrating thing is, you know, as another singer myself, is I watched it and I was like, oh my God, he doesn't even look like he's trying. He's not even trying. And he's so good.
Now, you recorded also, you did Beat the Devil, which really is cool. And who you did one with, too. So.
Yeah, it's got that, I was going for that sort of mid-80s, like, British sort of pop funk on that sort of, I was sort of like...
So different, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between, like, Peter Gabriel and maybe a little bit of, there was a British band around that time called Squeeze.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking about just the instrumentation in their song, Tempted.
Tempted by the fruit of another...
That song. And then there's also a bit of Huey Lewis influence in that song.
Thought so, yeah.
Serena Ryder is such a powerhouse singer, and we have known each other for a really long time, and we sang together once at a live thing, but it was just like a tiny little thing. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted us to do like an actual proper song together, and so I was writing that song, and I was picturing Serena's awesome wailing voice, and I sent her a note being like, you know, I've always wanted us to do a song together, and you know, if you would be open to it, I would be thrilled if you want to sing on the song. And then she sent me a note back right away being like, but I've always wanted to sing with you. So that was a really great one. And that song has a couple of my favorite moments on the record, like when her and I in the last chorus are sort of improvising with each other. I started giggling and laughing the first time I heard it all put together, because she sounds so great, and her style of improvising is completely different to my style of improvising. Mm. So hearing the two voices sort of working with each other is something that still kind of makes me laugh every time in a good way.
Well, it was just such a pairing that was just, it was such a beautiful thing to hear.
Oh, thanks.
And such a different song for you. And it was so cool. Really, really good.
Baby! What I need now is a way to beat the devil. Yeah, all I need now is a way to slow me down. Yeah, what I need now is a way to beat the devil. Yeah,
another one. Another one is Phoebe. Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Delirious.
Phoebe, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, Delirious. Right. Yeah. So you know, this is hilarious. Actually, Phoebe and I they just played a show together. Like I don't know, 2 weeks ago there was a Mariana Trench show that Phoebe played with, and somehow we did not get it together to do Delirious together live at that show.
Oh,
we
no
definitely
should
have. We definitely should have. I got there and I was like, wow, we should have prepared something, you know. And she laughed and was like, yeah, that's a bit of a whoopsie daisy.
just a little bit.
Yeah, but we'll get to it another time. But yeah, I mean, Phoebe sounds great on the song, and you know, she's such a cool singer. She's got such a cool vibe, and I sort of just thought, like, one thing I said to her when we did a couple of like Skype meetings with each other, and she had come in and suggested that we and thank God she did too. So the version that I originally sent her had a different bridge, and she came back with like, I love the song, I'd love to be on it, but can we take a stab at rewriting the bridge together? And I'm glad she did, because she was right. So you know, we did that virtually. We did like some Skype writing sessions and came up with a new bridge together. I think one thing I said to her, which why I think it's interesting hearing our voices together, is I think her and I are kind of kindred spirits in a way. Like, we both do pop music, but mm-hmm. with the soul of a rocker, you know.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so I think we both kind of have that thing, and I think that it just makes it interesting to hear our voices together. I think.
Oh yeah, I love this. It's hard to pick on this album. It's really hard, but I have that one as my third favorite, you know, on this one. So it is so cool. We're going to play that one right now, and it's called Delirious, and that is by Josh Ramsey featuring Phoebe Dobson. It's the first time these guys have been playing together for a long time. So we're playing it right now here on Music's Journey.
God, it's a hot night, feels like a crash site. Somehow my temperature, it flickers to a gaslight. You're in the foreground, I'm in the back now. I get a sensory memory of a sweet sound, and I remember it, you're on the tip tip of my tongue. You scandalize forever, my only one. It won't take away, take away, take away, take away what I've done. But I rewind every time, doomed to be, do a try. One little taste, just a little taste, just a drop under the ocean. You know that I've been stuck in between every opposite. Negatives with whispers, now they're entwined. And I'm bitter, miss to offer just old promises. Each vow I made that I betrayed with a kiss. And I say that, I say that, I say that, I say that I want this. But I rewind every time, doomed to be, do a try. A little taste, just a little taste, just a drop under
Delirious by Josh Ramsey, and that's featuring Fifi Dobson. That is off that brand new solo EP, and that's the Josh Ramsey Show. And another one too, we have to hit a few of them here, and that's Tyler Shaw. And
oh,
when
yeah,
you
Tyler.
Did that, yeah, so Can't Give It Up, another really great song.
Thank you. That one was different. Tyler and I have known each other for a long time, and we had worked together in the studio before. I love Tyler both as a human and as a singer and as a writer. I just think he's a great all-around guy. And so I really wanted us to do a song together. So actually, the song that I wrote to send to him was a different song. I had written this sort of like something in the like Ed Sheeran like singer songwriter acoustic like acoustic-y type vibe, because Tyler sounds so good singing stuff like that. But the song, I just never quite found the chorus, so I never sent it to him, because I would never send something if I don't think it's my aching, you know. So I was like, okay, well, but I still really wanted us to do something together. And then on the flip side, I had written Can't Give It Up to pitch to Bryan Adams. That was the original idea for that song. And then Bryan was unavailable because he was recorded like two albums
at that time. Yeah.
So he was understandably busy. And so then I was like, okay, I'll just sing the song on my own. And then we were in mixing actually at Bryan's studio while he was upstairs. We were mixing that song, and I was like, you know, this just doesn't work. It just doesn't work by myself. It's weird. Like, there's call and answer stuff just between me and myself, and that sounds strange. And then I was like, oh, well, the song for Tyler didn't turn out, but I wonder if he would do this. That would be amazing. That would be a totally different idea. And I sort of called him. I was like, would you be open to maybe singing on the song? And I sent it to him, and he sent me fully finished vocals like by like 10 a.m. the next morning. It was super fast turnaround. And that song was a really interesting eye-opening experience for me, because that was one of the ones where like I had written a song for Tyler, but it wasn't this song. And so hearing his voice in this context of this song was something I had never expected, and it really took on a whole new life, which was really exciting. It was really exciting. It was like became a whole new song all of a sudden.
And you see the fans and what they thought about that song, and oh, I'm telling you, great, great tune. There are so many songs on the Josh Ramsey Show album, and I am going to play another favorite of mine right now. Here is Can't Give It Up by Josh Ramsey featuring Tyler Shaw here on Music's Journey.
We said keep it simple, don't get too attached. No false starts to somewhere, these things never last. So we drew the line, but some lines can be blurred. Now I wanna speak, but I'm at a loss for words. It's been holding me down.
was Can't Give It Up by Josh Ramsay featuring Tyler Shaw off the solo debut album The Josh Ramsay Show. There isn't any there isn't any tracks. Another one. Gosh, you and I got to talk about that one.
Okay, so that one. Yeah, so that wasn't originally written to be on this album. So I mean, people know I write songs for other artists all the time. And so I've been commissioned to write a song for Walk Off the Earth. Mm-hmm. And so this, that was the song that I wrote for them. And initially, like in the version, the much rougher version that was sent to them, I sang a lead everywhere, but I wanted to have some female vocals in there because Walk Off the Earth features male and female vocals. Mm-hmm. So I happened to be working with the girls in Fionn at the time on their record. And I was like, would you guys mind just taking like 10 minutes and just adding to these gang vocals in the chorus? And they did, and they sounded great. And then Walk Off the Earth held on to the song for a while, and then sort of in the 11th hour decided that it wasn't going to fit the project they were working on. So the song reverted back to me, and I was like, well, I love the song, so I'm going to put it on the record. And the Fionn girls are already in the chorus. Why don't you guys take a verse, and we'll just make it a... and so that's what we did. And Alana and Brienne are, they are fantastically talented. I really think they're going to go far in the industry.
I think they're underrated right now. Totally underrated. Yeah.
And you know, the first time I went to work with them, I didn't know what to expect because they're very young. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so we're co-writing. We're going to do a co-writing session. We don't know each other really. Like we've met in passing. And I will admit I was a little bit skeptical just because of their age. I was like, how much are they going to bring to the table? And then they showed up at the session and I completely ate my words because they're amazing. and it turns out they spent their entire teen years, their mom would just send them to Nashville to do songwriting camps all the time. So they spent their entire teen years in Nashville learning how to be killer songwriters. Mm-hmm. I totally ate my words. And I, like, upon working with them for about 10 minutes, I was like, oh, you're amazing. Oh, okay, this is great. Let's do this. And we kind of, we got along, creatively speaking, like, the quickest I've ever gotten along with someone. Sometimes, you do a writing session with someone and you don't know each other as well. That can be a bit awkward. You're like, okay, hi, we've just met. Okay, what do you think? Should we write a song about this or that? You know, it can be a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. But with Elena and Brienne, we just like immediately, the three of us just clicked. I love working with them, and I hope to continue to work with them.
I was sitting on the ledge of a cold decision, yeah. You were sitting on the edge of a blurry vision, yeah. And I turned my head, stopped me dead. I don't know just what to do now. It'll never be the same from a heart's collision, yeah. And I know that we could hurt each other. But I know you and I.
into the darkness. You're the feeling when I'm reeling from the heartless.
So nice, because they are so good, and I know they're going to do some really amazing things. And
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And they're also just lovely humans, both of them.
Both of them are. Everybody you've worked with on this album, incredible. You know,
yeah,
when it comes
definitely.
To human beings as well as they are as artists. So pretty nice. When it comes to your music on this album, is there one that really sticks out to you that is a favorite?
There's. Not as a favorite, but I would say there are three that are, like, emotionally speaking, the most important to me on this album. There's Spellbound and Miles and Miles, like the two songs from my parents. Those were very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a song called Like You Do that I wrote about.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the moment I proposed to my wife, and that one was really important to me as well, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of about this, like, you know, there's this magic little spot that you get where, you know, you propose to someone and hopefully they say yes, and if they do, then you have this moment where only the two of you know about it, mm-hmm. and you haven't told anybody yet, and it's just this sort of like magical little thing just between the two of you. And that song is about that space and time. My wife, absolutely, she likes to relax and listen to like Motown ballads from the 70s, so she mm-hmm. loves like Otis Redding and Marvin Gaye. So I tried to sort of do an updated take on that style of a song.
Nice.
So it's sort of a 70s Motown song, Motown ballad for 2022, I guess.
It's always been one of my favorite genres, you know, when it comes to that kind of music. I still think, you know, when you're seeing some of the artists that are bringing it back right now.
Yeah,
I definitely. Love it. Absolutely love it. It'll never be old for me.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, speaking of like Otis and Marvin, I mean, they're two of the best singers mm-hmm. of their time, you know, both just like amazing singers. So yeah, I was very, that was a very inspired song for me.
Time won't keep, so forget this, let's just be, and let this moment bleed into forever. Won't you just let me trace every inch of your face, memorize how you taste like forever. You got me like every word, every line, every piece of heart of mine. Won't get by it, I can still surprise you. You ain't seen nothing like. It's never too late, never too old. Every diamond wrapped in gold stops and lingers around your fingers. So go on, so go on and hold. Nobody gets me like no
so special all the way through. Are you a melody first in your head or creating your own sound?
That's a good question. Most of the time, yeah. But not always. And I certainly don't have a rule that I stick to. But usually, most of the time, a melody on its own will just get stuck in my head. And I don't know what the chords are to go underneath it per se just yet. Mm-hmm. But a simple melody will pop in. While I'm doing something unrelated, like usually while I'm walking my dog or, just doing normal day-to-day stuff. And I will sort of develop the melody in my head internally and see where it wants to go. And I'll do that for a few days usually. And mm-hmm. then I'll start to picture and audition in my head different chord progressions that I think would support the melody the best. And I'll audition that all in my head as well. And then after enough days, if the melody is still stuck in my head after that long, then I start to think, okay, maybe this could get stuck in someone else's head. But if I forget it, then I think, probably wasn't that good. Mm. So that usually once it's there, once I'm like, okay, I know what the verse melody, the chorus melody, and the pre-chorus melody, and I know what the chords are, from then there, then I start recording. And ideally, whenever possible, I hope to have a song title very early on. It's a lot more useful for me if I know what the title of the song is. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more useful in terms of informing how to write the lyrics. If I just start, it never fails. If I don't know what the song is going to be called, or if I don't know what it's about or whatever, if I start writing lyrics, every time I'll get to that spot in the chorus where it's very obvious, insert the title here, and now you have nothing, and now it has to rhyme with orange and be two syllables long. Like, you can really paint yourself into a corner. Mm-hmm. So whenever possible, I like to have the title as early as humanly possible.
Well, you are a brilliant, brilliant writer. And you.
That's very nice.
You make Canada proud, boy, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
You really, really do. You've been always one of my favorites to shoot, always one of my favorites to go to. So absolutely love everything that you do. And
this album
is absolutely amazing. You should be so, so proud of this body of work. And I'm telling you, one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Now, you've put together a really diverse band, I hear, for touring that's starting in May. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I mean, stylistically, the album's all over the place, right? So I needed people who could do multiple jobs, we've got a lovely drummer named Roman, and then our bass player Chris is wicked, and he's got a background in both. He also plays for VMA, he's got a background in, like, he can do pop stuff, but he's also like a really good jazz guy. So that was a really important position. And my friend Rachel is the difficult thing with this is so many of the songs on the album are duets and are meant to be duets. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm not traveling with all of the people that are on the record. That's not realistic. So I needed people in a band who could not only sing BG vocals when necessary, but who were also lead singers who could take over filling in lead singer stuff. So my friend Rachel Ashmore is doing keyboards and several lead vocals and BG vocals as well. And then my other friend, Christy, she does, so Rachel kind of has like the pop voice, but Christy can also sing leads, but she sounds like a rock singer. So she can sing, like, she's taking like Chad's verse and Lady Mine and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
And she's wearing a lot of hats because she's doing rock vocals, plus she's the other guitar player, plus she's playing all the trumpet stuff. So she's juggling a lot of jobs.
Holy cow. That must have been daunting just to get the voices that you wanted for this one.
To get the voices, but I'm really happy with the group. I think, we've been in rehearsals for a while, getting ready for the tour, and we're just about to leave to go head into official pre-production, and we're all feeling really good about it. We're excited.
Well, you're heading off to Calgary. That's where you're starting off the tour to kick it off.
Yeah, we get there like 3 days early to do all of our pre-production, and then off we go.
And then you're ending off in Montreal, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm telling you. This is going to be a show and a half. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for this one. So congratulations, my friend, and thank you so much for stopping into Music's Journey. And just keep killing it out there. This is amazing. One of my favorite albums.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very sweet of you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks so much, Josh.
Okay, Kim. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. I hope you will join me here on Music's Journey for some more great shows coming up. I'll be interviewing Chris Buck, Mackenzie Lee Meyer, Devin Cooper, Smoke and Ashes, Jamie Warren, Jason Blaine, Annika, New Moon Junction, Amy Sky, Mark Jordan, and so many more. I hope you will join me here next time on the Music's Journey show. Don't forget you can check out all the podcasts at musicsjourney.com for more of the artists and interviews you do not want to miss. You also can check out all the articles that I write and all the artists that you know and love with all the latest music, videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey and have yourselves a wonderful day. We'll see you next time here on Music's Journey.
The trail.